Presenting Objection Overruled, a collaborative project for the Dramione Valentine's Collab Collection 2025, written by Mother of Dogs 18 and beta'd by Anna Wimbrell, with narration by Kaylin Wrights and art by Moon Lu Art. Chapter 1, Valentine's Day, 2005. Ministry of Magic Messenger. Percy Weasley, Associate. Welcome, trainees, to the Ministry of Magic Legal Department, a most distinguished branch of the DMLE. I am the associate in charge of trainee induction. I hope you're enjoying your first day. Unfortunately, due to an urgent injunction which requires the attention of all senior staff, we will not be able to do proper introductions today. This space here is intended for you to bond with your intake, so I will be leaving shortly. Please remember to treat your colleagues with respect. I trust that you will do this institution proud and look forward to guiding you through these first steps in your legal careers. Percy Weasley, Associate, has left the chat. DMLE HJG.
Hi, everyone. Can't wait to get started.
DMLE PP.
Hi, team. Smiley face.
DMLE DLM.
Hello.
DMLE EM.
Greetings, all.
DMLE CC.
Hi. Lucky us getting the hot associate for our mentor.
DMLE DLM.
Merlin, it's my first day and I already feel this is a mistake. Weasley, really?
DMLE CC.
I cannot be the only one to have noticed that Percy got hot.
DMLE EM.
Nope, and it's not just Percy either. Have you noticed that at some point all the Weasleys got hot?
DMLE PP.
Right? I'm glad someone else noticed.
DMLE DLM.
If someone could just pop round to my office and avada me, please, I'd appreciate it.
DMLE HJG.
This is completely unprofessional. Not only is it a violation of Section 7 of the Employee Handbook, which prohibits harassment of staff, it is also a clear breach of Section 26 of the new Equality at Work Act. I would have thought, as aspiring lawyers, you would know that and hold yourselves to higher standards.
DMLE DLM.
Anyone, please, just a little avada.
DMLE HJG.
I also think it's in rather poor taste to joke about using an unforgivable curse at work.
DMLE DLM.
I'm not going to like you, am I? I can immediately tell.
DMLE HJG.
I already know you don't like me. I think I'll cope.
DMLE DLM.
You do. I don't.
DMLE PP.
Ha! I can hear Hermione rolling her eyes from here.
DMLE DLM.
What? Granger's here? How do you know?
DMLE HJG.
Oh, for goodness sake, Malfoy. Look at our usernames. It's not that hard to work out.
DMLE DLM.
Fuck.
DMLE HJG.
Language!
DMLE EM.
Anyway, let's not squabble on our first day. Does anyone think it's a tad unfair that they made our first day Valentine's Day? Do you know what time we get to leave?
DMLE PP.
Hot date, Ernie?
DMLE EM.
No current plans, Padma, but a gent can hope. Cho, do you have any plans?
DMLE CC.
I assume it's a test. Did anyone else get the memo just now about an urgent research task?
DMLE HJG.
Yes, I've already started. I think it will take most of the night to do this properly. I'll speak to you all later.
DMLE DLM.
This is going to be a long 2 years.
Chapter 2, Valentine's Day, 2006. Ministry of Magic Legal, Interdepartmental Memo. To Sophia Hooper, Head of Legal, re Hermione Granger, First Year Appraisal. Date, 14th February 2006.
Miss Granger has shown great potential in her first year as a trainee lawyer. She has a keen intellect, is able to understand and apply complex concepts with ease, demonstrates meticulous attention to detail, and is an extremely hard worker. The quality of her work is well above the level I would expect from a first-year trainee, and none of the lawyers who've worked with her have reported any issues with the work she's completed for them. My primary concern, and an area in which I believe Miss Granger must improve in order to progress in her legal career, is her interpersonal skills, particularly amongst her peers. While Miss Granger displays professional behaviour and is quick to assist colleagues where needed, her teamwork needs improvement. Miss Granger has a tendency to interpret group projects as personal projects and has been known to work through the night to complete projects well ahead of schedule, but without the input of her team. In order to reach her full potential, Miss Granger needs to learn that she cannot do everything alone and to understand the benefit of collaborating with her peers. While it is usual practice for second-year trainees to move out of their supervising lawyer's office and into their own, my suggestion in this case is that Miss Granger share an office with one of her peers. I will share my thoughts on who might be the most appropriate candidate in our meeting this afternoon. Regards, Percy Weasley, Senior Associate. Ministry of Magic Legal Interdepartmental Memo. 2. London Personnel. Re. Trainee Office Allocations. Date, 14 February 2006. All. I am pleased to share that our full cohort of first-year trainees have progressed to their second year. In recognition of their new roles and the increased autonomy this department expects of them, the following office allocations shall take effect from today. Cho Chang, South 15. Hermione Granger, South 16. Draco Malfoy, South 16. Ernie McMillan, North 24. Padma Patil, North 25. Please join me in wishing our colleagues the best for their final year of training. Regards, Percy Weasley, Senior Associate. Ministry of Magic Messenger. Padma. Lol, do you think Percy will ever stop signing off memos with his full title? Like, we know you're a senior associate. Well done. Ernie. Do you think he'll ask for a badge? Draco. You're something of an expert in badge-making, if I'm not mistaken. Cho. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Hermione Granger, trainee lawyer. It was bullying. It's not something to joke about, Ernie. DM. Wonderful. It's the fun police. Hermione Granger, trainee lawyer. Oh, shut up, Malfoy. And you all know we're supposed to have our full titles as our usernames. How many times do I have to tell you? Padma. OMG. I've just looked at the room allocations properly. Granger and Malfoy are sharing. DM. They must be joking. Hermione Granger, trainee lawyer. It's obviously a mistake. I've already messaged Percy. I'm sure it'll be sorted out in no time. DM. Finally, your obsessive nature proves useful. Ministry of Magic Messenger, direct message. Hermione Granger, trainee lawyer. Percy, I'm sorry to bother you with something trivial, but I noticed a mistake on the room allocations. Who should I speak to about having it corrected? Percy Weasley, senior associate. Hermione, I had hoped to speak to you before the memo went out, but I was called into an urgent meeting. I'm afraid there has been no mistake. I'll meet you in your new office in 5 minutes to explain further. 5 minutes after receiving the message from Percy, Hermione was peering around the door to her new office, careful not to make a sound. The sliver of Percy's face that she could see from her spot just outside showed him talking very seriously to Malfoy, the back of whose obnoxiously blonde head Hermione could just about make out. The room must have top-notch privacy spells, because she couldn't hear a word, but from the expression on Percy's face, it looked as though he was placating Malfoy. For some reason, that hurt Hermione, and she felt the first sting of tears prick the back of her eyes. Why was Malfoy the one being comforted? What had she done to deserve not only the embarrassment of having to share her office, but the indignity of having Malfoy as her roommate? She would not cry in front of either of them, though, so she took a moment to compose herself,
blinking furiously and taking a few long, deep breaths. As she calmed herself, she took comfort from the fact that they had at least been given a nice, spacious office with a lovely view out over Tower Bridge. Of course, if she got her way, this would be merely a temporary blip, but for however long the blip lasted, at least she wouldn't be stuck in a small interior office like the ones the other trainees had been allocated. Finally, she felt ready to face the situation and took a deep breath before pushing open the door.
"What's going on, Percy?"
She was pleased with how steady her voice sounded, and strode around to what was clearly supposed to be her desk, taking a seat and fixing the older wizard with a stare.
"Hermione, how are you?"
Percy sounded wary, which Hermione took to be a good sign. Clearly, he realized that whatever was happening here was a grave injustice. Good, then it should be easier to get him to fix it.
"I'd be a lot better if I understood what was happening here."
Hermione narrowed her eyes slightly and leaned forwards, resting her elbows against the surface of her mahogany desk. She had recently taken a body language seminar and knew how to present herself to get what she wanted. Malfoy scoffed, but Hermione paid him no attention, her eyes still fixed on Percy in a way she hoped made him uncomfortable.
"Well, as you and Mr. Malfoy here have seen, we've had a slight departure from normal procedure for the room assignments this year. We, that is to say the head of legal and I, have decided that it will be beneficial to have you share an office. I appreciate it will have come as something of a surprise, but we are confident it is for the best."
Hermione glanced towards Malfoy, not particularly wanting to say this next part in front of him.
"Malfoy, could you give us a moment?"
He responded with his signature sneer, before saying, in what Hermione considered to be an unnecessarily unpleasant tone,
"I think you'll find, Granger, that this is my office, too. You don't get to decide when I can and can't be in here."
She stared at him for a few seconds before shrugging.
"Suit yourself. I was only trying to spare your feelings."
Turning to Percy, Hermione leaned back in her chair and crossed her arms over her chest.
"Percy, I appreciate that Malfoy might be struggling, but I don't see why I should suffer as a result. Surely, if he needs ongoing supervision, he can continue sharing an office with Wilson."
Malfoy was staring at her with an incredulous expression, and Percy looked deeply uncomfortable. Hermione felt a small twinge of guilt, but shook it off. This was her career, and she wasn't about to let Malfoy drag her down with him. She had given him the opportunity to leave, but he'd decided to be a prat about it, as per usual. None of that was her fault. Percy cleared his throat before replying,
"Hermione, there's no easy way to explain this, so I'm just going to be blunt. The issue isn't Mr. Malfoy. While your work has been exemplary, there are some of us who feel that you need to develop your interpersonal skills, and we thought spending more time with one of your peers would be an excellent opportunity for you to do just that. Mr. Malfoy here has just kindly agreed to share with you for the coming year."
Hermione was speechless, and there was a strange ringing in her ears as she tried to process his words. In what world was she the problem? And to have Percy Weasley, of all people, tell her she needs to work on her social skills? She couldn't believe what she was hearing.
"Surely there must have been a mistake. I've never had any complaints from anyone I've worked for."
Percy gave her a pitying look, which made her feel even worse.
"No one is denying that you do excellent work for your superiors, Hermione. The issue is your inability or unwillingness to work with your peers. Part of being an effective lawyer is working with others, and there are some who feel that you lack the ability to do so."
Something that sounded suspiciously like a stifled laugh came from Malfoy's direction, and she looked over to see the smug arse looking like Christmas had come early. Of course he would be loving her humiliation. She wasn't surprised he'd volunteered. He was probably looking forward to rubbing her nose in her failures. Hermione stared at Percy for several long moments as her mind worked furiously over what he was telling her. From his expression, she could tell there was no point in arguing, and to do so would probably just humiliate her further. Eventually, she looked away in defeat, and Percy stood to leave.
"I'll let you two get settled into your new office. I really do believe this will be a good thing for both of you."
Without another word, Percy swept from the office. Hermione watched him leave with a sinking feeling in her stomach, before slumping forward and resting her forehead against the desk.
"Don't look too excited, Granger,"
Malfoy sounded, if possible, even more smug than he looked. Hermione didn't reply, and instead squeezed her eyes shut, wishing for this to simply be a bad dream. Unfortunately, when she opened them again, Malfoy was still there, which led her to believe it had not been a nightmare. She consoled herself with the thought that she would only have to put up with him for 1 year. Chapter 3, Valentine's Day, 2007. Ministry of Magic Legal Interdepartmental Memo. To London Personnel. From Percy Weasley, Senior Associate. Re: Newly Qualified Lawyers. All: I am pleased to share that our trainees have all fulfilled the necessary requirements and are now fully qualified lawyers. Please join me in congratulating our new associates, Hermione Granger, Draco Malfoy, Ernie McMillan, and Padma Patil. We say a fond farewell to Cho Chang, who will be joining the Howler as its new legal correspondent. Regards, Percy Weasley, Senior Associate. Ministry of Magic Messenger. Hermione Granger, Associate.
Why haven't they said anything about room allocations?
Ernie. They aren't changing them this year. Something to do with visiting lawyers from Macusa needing the office space. Padma. Oh, so does that mean you and Malfoy will be sharing for another year? Hermione Granger, Associate.
No, absolutely not.
Draco. I think that's exactly what it means. Hermione Granger, Associate.
No, I won't do it.
Draco.
You wound me, Granger.
Hermione Granger, Associate.
Come off it, Malfoy. You don't want this any more than I do.
Draco.
I don't know, Granger. You've rather grown on me.
Hermione Granger, Associate.
Ha ha, very funny.
Padma. You might not want to admit it, Hermione, but you two work well together. Hermione Granger, Associate.
We are fully qualified associates now. We should not be sharing an office. I'm going to speak to Percy.
Draco.
If anyone was wondering, she has indeed just stormed out to speak to Percy. For the record, I agree that we work well together.
Padma.
She'll come around eventually.
Draco.
And, in the meantime, it's quite entertaining to rile her up.
Ernie. Anyway, in more important news, do you know what the best thing about being qualified is?
Padma. Do we want to know?
Ernie.
No more significant career milestones on Valentine's Day. I can focus on wooing the future Mr. or Mrs. McMillan in peace.
Chapter 4, Valentine's Day, 2009.
Golden Girl dumped for golden curls. Hermione Granger's humiliating dating life takes another turn. 14th February, 2009. Hermione Granger is well known for leaving a trail of broken hearts in her wake, but the ambitious young witch might finally be getting her comeuppance, writes Rita Skeeter, special correspondent. Her long-term boyfriend, Roger Davis, was recently spotted getting rather cozy with well-known socialite and it girl, Astoria Greengrass. Following an anonymous tip, this reporter witnessed firsthand the clear attraction between the two as they enjoyed a quiet, candlelit dinner last night and a few pre-Valentine's Day smooches. This latest revelation has led many to wonder where this leaves Miss Granger and whether Mr. Davis has finally come to his senses. Despite her well-publicized role in the downfall of He Who Must Not Be Named, Miss Granger has not been content to enjoy the fame and riches that accompanied her status as a war hero. Instead, she trained as a lawyer with the DMLE, leading many to voice their concerns that someone with such outlandish views as Miss Granger might be turning her eye to magical law. Miss Granger's career has taken up the majority of her time in recent years, leaving little room for anything else in her life. Let us hope that Mr. Davis has finally found the love he deserves in Miss Greengrass, and that he is the last unfortunate wizard to fall victim to the wiles of Miss Granger.
With the DMLE's gala to raise funds for cardiac disease happening tonight, wizards should be on their guard, as Miss Granger may well be on the prowl. As she made her way into the huge ministry function room, Hermione felt her cheeks burn under the weight of the stares of almost 100 people who had turned, seemingly as one, toward the door the second she arrived. She had broken her self-imposed rule of never reading anything written by Rita Skeeter, and was now paying the price, as she could almost see the words flashing in the eyes of the people she passed as she made a beeline to the bar.
"Has finally come to his senses. Has finally found the love he deserves."
There wasn't a good way to discover that your boyfriend of almost 2 years was cheating on you, but Hermione thought that reading Rita Skeeter's gleeful report on Roger's affair might be the worst way possible. She was fairly certain it had been Skeeter herself who sent her the article, as she didn't subscribe to the Daily Prophet, and she couldn't think of anyone else who would have wanted her to find out that way. She briefly considered whether it might have been Malfoy, but even he wasn't that cruel. Almost as though her thoughts had summoned him, she spotted a head of silvery blonde hair moving towards her through the crowd. He was between her and the bar, and the thought of hearing his opinion on her love life made her feel as though she'd been doused in ice water, so she quickly veered off course and grabbed a glass of champagne from a passing server instead. Spying a glossy bob, Hermione quickly made her way over to her colleague, hoping Padma's established conversation would be enough conversational armor to protect her from prying questions. Unfortunately, in her eagerness to escape Malfoy, she hadn't taken note of who Padma had been speaking to.
"Ah, Miss Granger, how wonderful to see you,"
Horace Slughorn boomed at her over the rather large glass of port in his hand.
"Hermione, a pleasure as always."
Cormac McLagan leered at her before taking a sip of fire whiskey. Hermione glanced at Padma, who gave her a sympathetic grimace before turning her attention to the two wizards.
"Horace, Cormac, lovely to see you both. I hope you're well."
"Very well indeed, Miss Granger. Very well indeed."
Hermione had always found Slughorn's insistence that she called him by his first name, while he still referred to her as Miss Granger, irritating.
"Much better for having seen what was written in the Prophet this morning."
McLagan's lewd tone made Hermione's skin crawl, but she was saved the trouble of answering by a hand being placed gently on her shoulder as a new person joined the conversation.
"Oh yes, McLagan. Page 9, wasn't it? Family connections not enough to completely prevent the scandal reaching the papers this time,"
Malfoy drawled at a reddening McLagan. As Slughorn spluttered nonsense along the lines of,
"Ah, well, yes, most unfortunate. These things are easily misunderstood,"
Malfoy turned to her, and eyes, never leaving hers, asked,
"Granger, would you like to dance?"
A quick glance at Cormac's scarlet face and Slughorn's simpering attempts to downplay his protege's latest scandal was enough to convince Hermione that Malfoy was, indeed, the lesser evil. She nodded, downing her champagne in one and passing her empty glass to Padma before taking Malfoy's outstretched hand.
"Gentlemen, Patil."
Malfoy nodded to each of them as he gently steered Hermione towards the dance floor. Much to her surprise, Malfoy was completely silent as he guided her into a waltz. She had braced for a mocking quip about the article, or some kind of subtle dig at her failings, but nothing came. Instead, he held her slightly closer than was strictly necessary for the dance, and traced small circles against the bare skin of her shoulder blade with his thumb. Part of her wanted to object. They didn't have this sort of relationship, but part of her was enjoying the silent comfort he seemed to be offering. While she had appreciated her friend's loud indignation on her behalf, Harry and Ron having burst through her flue at the crack of dawn, with their twins, Lily and Molly, still blinking sleep from their eyes, casting muffliatos and shouting empty threats about how they would murder that good-for-nothing Ravenclaw fucker, she had found it overwhelming. This was nice, a calm in the storm of the people around her, all with opinions about her life that they thought she should hear. As one song bled into the next, and Malfoy continued to gently hold her, as his familiar pine and wood smoke scent helped her relax and feel grounded, she realized that at some point over the past few years, her resentment towards the wizard had faded. She had held on to it long after his fumbled apology,
and long after everyone else had seemed to move on. Now that it was finally absent, she could acknowledge that perhaps she'd allowed their past to color her judgment of the man he'd become. Over time, his arrogance had softened into confidence, and his mocking cruelty had transformed into self-deprecating humor and quick wit. He could be blunt, but then again so could she, and his intelligence helped keep her on her toes. She wasn't quite ready to admit it, but somewhere along the way, she had stopped seeing him as a punishment and started to see him as not exactly a friend, but a welcome presence in her life. She could admit that her reluctance to see him earlier had more to do with her own issues with vulnerability than any honest belief that he would try to hurt her. As the second song ended, he leaned in and whispered against her ear,
"Are you okay, Granger?"
She pulled back and studied his serious gray eyes before whispering the truth in response.
"I will be."
Chapter 5. Valentine's Day, 2010.
"You are aware it's the weekend, aren't you, Granger?"
Hermione tensed as Draco walked into the office they inexplicably still shared, despite having been qualified for several years now. Her eyes were burning, and she absently wondered how long she'd been reading through her case notes as she turned to face him.
"You are aware I'm starting the first solo trial of my career tomorrow, aren't you, Malfoy?"
The left corner of his lips twitched up into a half-smirk, and his eyes glittered with amusement as he sat down and gave her a look of mock surprise.
"Really? You failed to mention it. What's the case about?"
"Ha ha, very funny. You know how much this means to me."
"I do, I do. Which is why I've brought you sustenance and words of encouragement. Which would you like first?"
She eyed the bag he was holding, hopefully, suddenly aware of how hungry she was. She tried to remember the last time she'd eaten, and drew a blank. As though he could read her mind, Draco handed her the bag, and she had to suppress a moan as the heavenly scent of her favorite Thai food wafted out. Her stomach gave a loud gurgle, and Draco sat back with a stern expression.
"When was the last time you ate?"
She ignored him in favor of summoning cutlery from the office kitchen and tucking in to the feast in front of her. He gave a satisfied grunt as she started to eat and sat back in his office chair.
"Hermione, you know this case inside and out. I know this is your way of coping with nerves, but you slept at your desk last night and have worked 80 hours this week. You are as prepared as you will ever be and will be light years ahead of your opposing counsel. What you need now is rest."
Hermione's mouth was too full to respond, so she conveyed her feelings by rolling her eyes at him. He let out a small huff of amused annoyance.
"I thought you might say that. I have a proposal for you. It's 5 p.m. now. How about I act as opposing counsel for the next 2 hours? I'll grill you on all the key points of your case. And then, at the end of it, you stop working for the night. How does that sound?"
Hermione thought about it as she finished chewing. She didn't want to stop working, but she had to admit he made some good points. Rest probably was the best thing for her at this stage, and her neck was hurting from sleeping at her desk the night before.
"Okay, that sounds fair. Prepare to lose."
Smirking, she nodded before putting down her fork and moving to stand in front of the floor-to-ceiling window in her customary mock trial spot. Draco moved to stand in front of the door, taking his usual position. After 2 hours, Draco held up a hand just as Hermione was concluding her closing statement.
"Time's up. I do believe I have been thoroughly defeated. Time to make good on your promise, Miss Granger."
Hermione took a few slow steps towards him, batting her eyelids deliberately as she met his gaze.
"And what, may I ask, is my victory prize, Mr. Malfoy?"
The smile that spread across his features as he took slow, measured steps to close the final distance between them made her stomach flutter and her core tighten. The breath left her body as he grabbed her by her upper arms, spinning them so he was pressing her into their office door. His hands trailed up over her shoulders, coming to rest in her hair as he pulled her forward into a searing kiss.
"That's waiting for you at home, my love."
Chapter 6. Valentine's Day, 2015. Granger and Malfoy LLP, new law firm taking London by storm. Cho Chang, legal correspondent, 14th February, 2015. In a move that may have surprised those who don't know them, power couple Hermione Granger and Draco Malfoy have decided to become partners in more than just the romantic sense. Despite both having successful practices in the DMLE legal department, the young trailblazers decided to break away from the ministry and start their own law firm. In a first-of-its-kind endeavor, the ambitious young couple has set up the firm with the specific intention of bringing cases against the ministry itself. In an exclusive statement, the pair set out their vision for the future. "We have both enjoyed our time at the DMLE and appreciate the solid start to our legal careers that it provided us. We do, however, believe the time is right to step out on our own and fill a gap in the wizarding legal market. For too long, it has been up to individuals to enforce their rights against the ministry, often leading to miscarriages of justice or rights only being available in practice to those able to afford to buy them. Granger and Malfoy LLP is a step in the right direction towards empowering individuals to understand how the law should be working for them and to discourage complacency from a ministry that is not often challenged. We look forward to this exciting new step in our careers and our lives." Emotive words from the pair, but ones this reporter has no doubt they will stand by. The firm's fee structure is based on a muggle system of no win, no fee for those who cannot afford representation, and a sliding scale depending on income for those more able to pay. We will certainly be keeping a keen eye out to see which cases this new firm will be taking on. One thing is for certain, with Granger and Malfoy at the helm, the future will be interesting. "Congratulations on our new venture, partner."
"Congratulations yourself. I'm certainly very glad to be your partner, Winky Face."
"Oh, yes? What are you going to do about it?"
"Well, our first day is nearly over. Why don't you visit me in my office and we can celebrate properly?"
"I think you should visit me in my office, Malfoy. It's bigger."
"Careful, Granger. Don't let finally having your own office go to your head. And I can't wait to show you what's bigger when you come to my office."
"Cersei's tits, guys. This is a communal office space. Please keep all fridge notes G-rated from now on. I should not have to say this."
"Sorry, Theo."
"Apologies, mate. Didn't realize you were still here."
"I'm head of PR, and this is your first day of business. Of course I'm bloody well still here. Idiots."
"Won't happen again."
"Yeah, yeah."
Chapter 7. Valentine's Day, 2016. The group chat. Pans.
"Today's the day."
Theo.
"Merlin, the suspense is killing me."
Draco.
"The suspense is killing you."
Theo.
"Good point. How's Granger holding up? Pacing a hole through the floor?"
Draco.
"She was until about 5 minutes ago when she went for a walk."
Red.
"I'm surprised you aren't helping her with a bit of stress relief, Ferret."
Draco.
"What do you think I've been doing all day, Red?"
Theo.
"Too much information. What did we talk about?"
Draco.
"One, this is not the workplace, and two, she started it."
Theo.
"Red is a bad influence on you."
Red.
"I regret nothing."
Zabini.
"I think you've got this. It's too high profile for them to try to pull any nonsense."
Draco.
"I hope you're right."
Scarhead.
"Sorry, we were trying to get the twins down for the night. Have you heard anything?"
Zabini.
"They haven't heard yet."
Weaselby.
"How's Hermione holding up?"
Draco.
"I'm fine, thanks for asking."
Weaselby.
"Of course you're fine, you git."
Pans.
"Classy, Weasley."
Draco.
"Charming as always."
Draco.
"At Hermione. Come home, love. An owl just arrived."
The verdict came in.
Hermione's heart was suddenly lodged in her throat as she stepped through the doorway of their living room. She spotted Draco instantly, as he used his feet to turn himself to face her, from his favorite dark green swivel chair in front of the fire. The moment seemed frozen in time as she stared at him, willing him to tell her, but immobilized by fear that it might be bad news. This was the first big trial of their law firm. They had represented 7 claimants in their combined suit against Cormac McLagan and his head of department for Cormac's various breaches of the Equality at Work Act, mostly relating to sexual harassment in the workplace and subsequent cover-ups. He and his boss, a friend of his uncle, had tried to bully and intimidate the women into silence using his family connections, and it had been Hermione's genuine pleasure to verbally eviscerate her former schoolmate during cross-examination. The press had had a field day with how she'd caught both men in lie after lie, and everyone assumed the case was a sure win. But Hermione knew there was never a sure win. No matter how damning the evidence, no matter how well argued the case, surprises were known to happen. And given the level of corruption they'd exposed in just this one case, she wouldn't be surprised if the Wizengamot found against them, purely in an attempt to put them off trying again. Hermione was so lost in her own thoughts that she didn't notice Draco move until he was standing right in front of her, a gentle finger under her chin, coaxing her to look at him.
"We won, Hermione."
Draco's voice was choked with emotion, his silvery gray eyes extra bright with unshed tears.
"We won?"
Hermione felt a pressure building behind a dam somewhere inside her, the emotion of the news growing and trying to escape. But she had to be sure.
"Yes, my love. The official verdict is being released tomorrow morning, but Judge Jonas sent a note congratulating us and saying she knew you wouldn't sleep otherwise. We won, Hermione. Cormac is being dismissed and ordered to pay compensation. The Ministry will be ordered to pay damages for the cover-up, and the head of department has been set mandatory training. It's a decisive win."
"We won!"
All at once, the dam burst, and Hermione was flooded with joy. She launched herself into Draco's arms and kissed every part of him she could reach as her own tears started.
"Gods, they're going to be so relieved. Should we tell them?"
Hermione asked Draco, referring to their clients as she slid out of his arms. He gave a low chuckle and tucked one of her curls behind her ear.
"It's almost midnight, my love. We'll tell them first thing tomorrow."
Hermione hummed, leaning forward slightly to press a kiss to his lips. She felt him flick his wand, and within seconds the soft sound of orchestral music filled the lamplit room.
"The song from the gala?"
she asked as he pulled her in close and started to sway them gently on the spot.
"Of course, a little reminder of how far we've come."
She smiled, resting the side of her head against his chest as they danced in front of their fireplace. They had come a long way, and as they finished their dance and made their way upstairs for the night, Hermione made a mental note to thank Percy for overruling her objections to her assigned office partner all those years ago.